Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Living Electric. Alex and I want to preface this episode that this is probably going to be our last new episode, probably for a few weeks. I would say it's probably not going to be a long hiatus, but I am officially moving to Columbus in a few days. And we're recording this on a Thursday, and I'll be in Columbus in less than a week from now. So very exciting things. I'll be closer to Alex. I'll get to bother him in person. And
you're going to pop up on my door randomly, I'm sure.
Yes. So. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we'll be able to do in-person recording, which is, I'm very excited to do that.
Definitely.
But yeah, without a proper setup, I'm sure you guys have noticed a big audio change on my end. Because I have no sound pads set up because we've been packing. So.
And things slowly disappearing from your background for the past few weeks if you're watching on YouTube. So.
Right. I know my walls are so boring.
So,
we just wanted to give you guys a quick heads up that we'll probably end up recycling some of our older episodes for a few weeks. And then once I'm set up in my new house and we get the new setup going, we'll have some new episodes coming.
Definitely. Yeah. So, bear with us. We always try to get content out when we can, but it's life and everything else comes first. So,
yes,
that's unfortunately the situation right now. Very excited to have you down in Columbus, though. I can tell you that. So.
We'll do a lot more.
Yeah, a lot more stuff together. We've even mentioned doing some like in person, but like not in a studio type podcast where we do like field podcasts, if you will, where we like go out to a charging station or like just go do something at an EV type thing in person together. So that'll be kind of mix up the show a little bit.
Definitely,
I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, living electric in the city. That's what we call it.
On the road.
On the road. I'm all very excited. I'm excited to get into this new house because it's going to be a challenge electrically. So that will be fun to have some conversations about what we're doing to our older home and how we're going to update it, probably similar to what you had to do. So
yeah, that'd be cool, honestly, to do if you're comfortable, obviously, doing like a walkthrough of kind of the upgrades you'll have to do at your house as a podcast. We can have Tyler record or something and us two mic'd up just walking around.
Yeah, no, definitely. So. We'll have to get the radon system put in first, you know, or else we'll come out of the basement glowing green.
Yeah, and I'll be crouching the entire time because your basement's short, right? So
Yes. I have like 2 inches of headspace in the basement, so you probably will end up struggling until we can rip out the ceiling. So
I'll just have really poor posture the entire time. I think it'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah, and one other thing I do want to say too, if you guys hear any thunder or, you know, loud sounds, there's a pretty bad storm rolling through right now. I don't know if it's picking up, but let's fingers crossed I finish this episode with no tornado.
Don't get yanked out of the window midway through. So
yeah, exactly. So what do we talk about today? I'll let you introduce it.
I don't think we formally announced. I know we talked about the Ford news a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But in between our last recording and this one, another major OEM joined the NACS craze and is joining going to start adding the Tesla standard at some point, and that is GM. So another major EV player in the U.S. is now planning to switch to Tesla's connector. Maybe not switch, as we discussed on the last one, but at least offering that as an option. So kind of another, I don't know, which another domino falls, I guess, towards adding NACS as kind of a more formal standard towards for EVs. So I think we discussed on the Ford episode, I think overall it's a good thing. I think the Tesla connector is just a lot better. There's a lot of benefits to having it, but as we've noticed, there's a lot of other things that now need to get figured out across the industry, from charging, from like actual standardization. I've heard that as be kind of a major backlash against Tesla's NACS standard, is that it is not actually a standard because it hasn't been like formally regulated by any bodies, which I think is kind of by design. But anyway, there's a lot of things to talk about. So figured we'd kind of get into that today.
Yeah, well, and I do want to say that you did dig up some archives, even though it was only from like 6 months ago. but we did, I think you and I predicted the future, though, because back in, I think, November when they first announced it, we did the example of Ford with their light, you know, with F-150 Lightning, having the NACS or NACS.
Right.
So I mean, I, honestly, like, it just, like, it blew my mind that, like, Ford is adopting this, and then just, like, out of nowhere, GM announces that they're adopting it.
Yeah.
And I really think that this, as you mentioned, one more domino, and I think that this is just going to push the other ones, because we're already starting to mm-hmm. see networks saying that they're going to be adding, you know, this charging standard to their charging stations. ABB, oh, there's a cat.
Got a visitor. Guest on the show here. There he is.
Yeah.
He really likes sitting on my lap when I'm working on the computer, so just have to bear with me.
Well, if you're watching on YouTube, you just got a treat. So, but ABB, you know, the charging manufacturer, announced that they're going to be including it as an option for people to purchase whenever they purchase their hardware, that standard. So yeah, lots of exciting things are happening, but still lots of things to figure out.
Yeah, we'll probably link it in the show notes here, but Lauren from EV Adoption, I think it's evadoption.com, I think. You sent me that link, I believe. He's posted on LinkedIn a few times, but he's got a page basically updating with every network that's being announced, every OEM that's announcing NACS, every vehicle manufacturer, like, just keeping a tally of who is actually announced, like, hey, we're going to support this. So, and I think some people have commented, like, it is almost inevitable that almost everybody is going to announce that they're going to start supporting it at some point. So,
yes. Yeah.
Which I think is good. It's just now figuring that out from all of those companies' perspectives. Like, how is Tesla going to go about either licensing that? Are they going to sell people charging cables? Like, what is that going to look like from the actual, like, deployment perspective? So
yeah, I know. I am really curious about that too. And I actually saw an article the other day, you know, with the Magic Dock that they introduced in New York and in California. A lot of the 800 volt architect batteries are vehicles are having issues charging at their max capacity at the existing V3 superchargers because of their limits.
Yep.
So obviously, you know, GM's new Ultium, you know, platform is 800 volts, so it's like, how's that going to work out? I'm sure they'll have to figure something out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to be retrofitting the existing superchargers. Obviously, V4 is going to be a little bit different, but
yeah, it's something they could potentially retrofit. I know a lot of the vehicles also have, like, an internal, like, they can boost the voltage their end to up to 800 volts, so. But there are still some losses with that. Like, there are some, like, it's not as efficient as just plugging into a 800 volt charger, if you will. So that is, I think, something we'll run into as we get into that, is like, how are non-Tesla vehicles going to work with the existing supercharger network? Because I know they've done that pilot and done some other things, and there's been some clear issues with just vehicles working properly. So
yes. Actually, so I do have a question for you. This is not, well, I guess technically it is NACS related, but so vehicles like the, the Kia EV6 and the IONIQ 5, the EGMP platform vehicles, they have an onboard booster for, like, from 400 to 800 volts. Do you know if there's a way to go backwards? Like, can you step down to just keep it 400 volts so you can get the max out of a supercharger?
So it would take it from the 400 volt from the supercharger, and then on the vehicle, it would go up to 800 on the vehicle so that it could charge battery pack. Is that what you're saying? Or,
I guess my question is like, you know, when the Magic Dock was, like, implemented, some people who had IONIQ 5s were only seeing, like, 45 kilowatts out of a supercharger.
Right.
So I wasn't sure if there was, like, a way to kind of, like, meet it in the middle or even, like, step it down so it's just strictly a 400 volt vehicle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of what that converter is doing, as I understand it, because the power is flowing from the charger to the vehicle, getting stepped up to 800 and then charging the vehicle, is how I understand it. So with the IONIQ 5, the other thing I noticed just doing a little bit of research online, and by research, I mean looking at, like, vehicle pages, there on some vehicles, that is an option you have to add. So I could also if certain vehicles had issues, maybe they didn't have that 400, 800 volt converter on the vehicle. So that could have also been something. So it's going to, like EV charging has been the past 10 years, it's going to be a some growing pains as we're now starting to switch to now this other platform. It's like there's going to be even more education that has to go on, even more like just informing customers, drivers about like what is a good experience, what is a bad experience, because yeah. Some people like will plug in and be like, oh, I just gotta wait this long, like there's nothing I can do, and it's like, oh no, like this charger is broken or not operating properly, move your car. So that's I think that's another thing we'll have to run into. There's something else with that as well. I think on that point, I think one thing I wish more vehicles would do, and I know more are adding it, is just having some kind of blurb on the actual touchscreen that says, that says like, hey, your vehicle is charging at the expected rate, or, oh, this is way slower than normal, something is wrong with the charger, or, oh, this is slower than normal for these three reasons. So I know more vehicles are starting to add that to their touchscreens, just to inform drivers of like, is this working or not? But I know a lot of them still don't have that. So
yeah, and I mean, you brought up an interesting point that could fall on the charging like provider as well.
Yeah,
to have a blurb like that in on their screens. Because I know like EA, for example, they're like derate some of their chargers to 50 kilowatts, or like sometimes if like a charge point station's having issues, it will have, you know, like power limit or power lower or something like that. Like. Yep. I just think a lot of transparency and clarity in this space would make things a lot better for just, you know, everyday drivers.
Right.
But I mean, the thing with Tesla, I mean, it would have to rely on the vehicle, which that's another aspect of the NACS implementation for Ford and GM. I'm really curious to see how they utilize Tesla's software. Not so much just like the charging stations themselves, but the Tesla vehicles are the communicators in a way. You know, there's no touchscreens on superchargers. Most of the communication is done either via your phone or, you know, the vehicle. So I'm curious to know how that's going to work with GM's products as well as Ford's.
For sure.
Because I know they mentioned they're implementing that into the Blue Oval network. How does that, you know, work in tandem to make the experience as seamless as if you were driving a Tesla vehicle?
Right, exactly. And that's one thing I actually tweeted out last week to try to understand and see if anybody knew the answer. Nobody's really been too clear about it, is how is plug and charge going to work with non-Tesla vehicles? Because like Tesla's got it pretty well figured out. They've got their internal roster of vehicles. They know whose vehicle it is. They know what credit card's attached. They know all that information. So when you plug in, it's very seamless. On the GM Ford side, I imagine it's going to be similar, where there's going to have to be some sort of agreement with Tesla to like have that plug and charge like experience with those vehicles. So you plug in to the supercharger, it recognizes, oh, it's not a Tesla vehicle, but it's a GM vehicle we also recognize, and then we'll get it started. The question is, I think where it gets fuzzy is now that all of these other networks, other charger OEMs are also trying to add this plug as an option. How is that going to work? Because it's more than just the physical pinout shape of the plug. I think that's a big thing that people miss, is it's not just, it's not like Europe and US where it's like, oh, the plug shape is just different, but like voltage is similar, so you can just plug it in the same way. Like it's way more involved than that. There's this communication between the vehicle and the charger. If you are doing plug and charge, there's payment that's going back and forth. Generally, you need like verification on that. So like other networks that are trying to add plug and charge and do all this are using these third parties to like verify payment and double check that this is a legit car, like all of this kind of safety and security measures. And I'd imagine Tesla is going to have some sort of role in that. I can't imagine they just give this away for free. I mean, they are a business at the end of the day. Like as much as they say we're accelerating to sustainable energy or whatever their tagline is, they very much are a business trying to make money too. So I think they're still going to be involved in some way, shape, or form with other networks, other charger OEMs implementing that plug.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to. Like, I was actually on one of, I'm going to give a shout out, the Electric Car Gaze. It's one of my favorite Facebook pages to be part of. You know, some of the people in that forum, they work in the industry, you know, for charging networks. And I won't, you know, give out specifics or anything like that, but they were mentioning how this is not a standard in the way that there's, it will be a standard once there's, you know, like, resources for, like, if something fails, for extra cables, if somebody needs to order something or repair something, they have to know what they're doing. It's not there yet. And I mean, like, as networks are starting to implement this, I'm sure it will get there. But I agree with you. I mean, Tesla is definitely going to have their hands in this in some fashion. They can't just give the patents like they hoped and just kind of be like, eh, whatever, you know, this is, you can do it. But no, they're going to have to be involved, which is going to be really fascinating to see how they help their competitors. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, I know it's all business, but like, it does kind of benefit the driver. So I'm happy to see them all playing nice, because when I worked at Tesla, it was not like that. It's nice to see everybody playing nice.
And I think, and we, I think we talked about this on the last episode, but like, what is that business relationship between Ford, GM, and Tesla? Like, who's paying who here? Like, I can't imagine this was just like, oh yeah, we're agreeing to switch to this. It's like, did Ford pay Tesla to be like, hey, we'll pay you X amount over the next 5 years to help us deploy this and implement this, and here's your fee or whatever, or vice versa, where it's like, Tesla's like, hey, we have built up this network, and you want to, if you want to join it, like, or we'll pay you to do whatever. I can't imagine it went that way. I think that Ford and GM paid Tesla to, like, for their help personally, but we'll see if any of those details come out. But you brought up another good point on the, kind of the manufacturing side, is it's not really a standard, because like, you could go out and build a CCS cable, you could go get it UL listed, you could get it certified, whatever, like, us two could go do that just as a company. It would take a few years to get to that point, but we could go do it because that is a standard. And I think Tesla has given people the resources to do the same. I don't know if you looked through that, you mentioned you were reading through their spec document, but like, they show measurements, they show like, how to size things correctly, what materials they use. Like, they are being as open as I think they can in kind of a public forum that anybody can go access. And I think some people are missing that piece too, that they have given those resources to people. That part just takes time. Like, ramping up manufacturing of anything takes time. Getting certified takes time. Like, all of this will take some time to build up. So I don't foresee anybody within the next like year or so actually like deploying an AX plug that hasn't already started it, like that started it back in November. Because I know some people are getting very close and like have working prototypes, but they aren't certified yet. So
If do you have any examples of those prototypes? I haven't seen anything on that. Like, I know there's like Electron who makes like adapters for like level two charging, but I haven't seen anything
else. I just saw some coverage on LinkedIn from that EV36 or something. I forget what was recently. Yeah,
which I'm shocked you weren't at.
I know. I need to bring that up to my company and be like, this would probably be a good thing to go to next year just as an industry event and get our name out there. But
yeah,
I believe XCharge was the name of the company that has a working prototype. I don't know if you want to look them up, but they have
XCharge, like just the letter X?
Yeah, like the letter X charge. So they have what appears to be like a working prototype that they had at the show. I think a few others did as well. So
you sent me this company.
Yeah. They've got like a 100 kilowatt unit, and I think they're gonna have some higher powered units as well. So
yeah, their charging station, I know it's a screen, but it reminds me of a fishbowl. Like,
because it's kind of round like that.
A good looking charger, but it to me it looks like there's water in it. I did see some posts about them with the NACS adapter connector on there.
So what, that's one of the companies I've seen that appears to have the that connector, and it looks like they're adding a kind of higher powered stuff in the future as well. So,
and just to clarify before we dive further into this, the NACS adapter or connector is the red in Chargeway, because it's still the Tesla connector. Right. So that would still be red. So just want to clarify.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I think is kind of my thoughts on it. I think the, what we're going to be watching is what we mentioned kind of this whole time is, what is the how is everything going to kind of shake out here? Like, are we going to have other networks completely switch to this? I think the other thing I wanted to get your perspective on is what happens to CCS now. Like, let's say a couple other companies now switch to NACS. Like, what do you think is going to happen with CCS?
If Chatamo or, you know, the Blue Connector is any indication how things just keep holding on. I mean, me personally, I don't think the green CCS connector is going anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, at least not anytime soon. I think give it 10, 15 years, you know, that might be a different story.
Yeah.
But I think right now there's always going to be implementations of it. There's always going to be support for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, vehicles have used that connector type for at least 10 plus years now.
Yeah.
And what about those vehicles that are still on the road? Are they just not going to get the support that they need in
right.
public charging?
Right.
So I don't think it's going to go anywhere unless an adapter comes out that allows them to utilize, you know, the red NACS. See, now I'm starting to use chargeway terms.
Which I believe Tesla is going to make, right? That's kind of part of the first initial years is like getting current Ford GM vehicles access to the supercharger network through an adapter of some sort.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I don't know if that's something Tesla's going to sell on their website or they're going to co-develop with GM and Ford or what. But the other thing, sorry to cut you off, the other thing on that is it seems that Tesla is using the same communication protocol as CCS now. So they are able to use the, like, I forget what the DIN spec is. It's like DIN 70201 or something like that. I probably got those numbers wrong. But that communication spec, it's power line communication. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but
No, I don't.
Basically, that is a communication protocol that it goes over one of the pins on the CCS connector. So it's basically how the vehicle and the charger signal to each other back and forth about what to do.
Interesting.
It's called power line carrier, I believe is what it's short for, PLC. But Tesla is kind of using that standard now. So they are using the same standard that, or at least a similar version that CCS is using. So it's pretty much a like for like comparison or swap to switch the port and switch the pins around just so they're in a different shape. Okay.
That makes sense. So that's how the DC fast charging adapter works for CCS to Tesla.
Yes. Yeah. The Tesla CCS one adapter. That's essentially what it's doing now. Cause Teslas can take that same information based on the charge port ECU they have in there, the electronic control unit. They now can interpret those signals properly and can use that kind of signaling. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So that part is really cool. And then the other thing I was going to mention is that also supports ISO 15118, which is the standard for plug and charge.
Yeah.
So it does seem that even though NACS isn't truly a standard, they are using standards to create that connector, if you will. This isn't just coming out of the blue. It's not just a completely new thing. They are using kind of standard communication protocols, standard stuff for that. It's just the shape of the plug that's a little bit different now. So
interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes a lot more sense as to why, you know, old Teslas need to get new ECUs installed for communication purposes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot more sense.
Right.
This is just my opinion and, you know, I'm not an engineer or, you know, I don't work on any regulations or anything like that, but I'm just thinking, I feel like the term standardization, I feel like I get it, from an official standpoint, yes, this is not an officially recognized standard,
right.
But Teslas are the most popular electric vehicles on the road.
Yeah.
And by, you know, by sheer number, I would consider this probably the standard. I mean, you know, some people could argue with me on that, but I'm just using that term loosely. But Apple just announced the new iPhones are going USB-C. So, I mean,
is that official now?
Yeah, it's rumored still, but official documents.
Apple hasn't said it.
No.
I'll believe it when Apple says it, or when Tim Cook says it on stage.
Well, you know me, I love gossip, but so that's just me manifesting that, but we'll see. But I'm just thinking that if Apple can, you know, implement USB-C, hell will literally freeze over now that all these manufacturers are implementing, you know, Tesla's charge port.
Right.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like, it's exciting, and I love seeing these, big companies work together to make their products better, for the consumer. But I really don't think CCS is going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, I keep hoping CHAdeMO is going away, but it's still here. And that's not me anything against, the CHAdeMO company or anything like that. It's just, there's only two cars that use it, so.
One point on the standardization that I'll bring up is the main, I think, issue that people are seeing that I somewhat touched on earlier is like with if it's not a standard, then a random company like you and I would create can't go create a Tesla plug. Like Tesla could come in and sue us and be like, this is our IP, you're not allowed to make this connector. I think that's the concerning part. Like nothing's really stopping Tesla from just being like, hey, you can't build this. Like you've got to buy it through us or you've got to license it through us. Even Apple with their Lightning connector, they've like the whole, have you seen like the made for iPhone
Oh,
thing
yeah.
that is on some stuff? People have to pay for that licensing. Like that's not just a sticker they put on there. They have to pay Apple to say like Apple has agreed that we are able to use their Lightning connector or whatever for their product. So
That's crazy.
Apple's getting a percentage of every single one of those and and getting kind of that licensing fee, if you will, for those products. And nothing is really stopping Tesla from doing the same here without them integrating with some kind of standards body like the people that have created CCS. So luckily, it sounds like they're kind of open to working with Tesla now and formally adopting this as a standard. But until that happens, I think that's going to be an issue for some people that are like, oh, like we'll use it, but like it's really got to be a standard for it to be truly available for people. So.
Definitely. Well, I guess we'll see where things go. I want to ask you the same question. What do you think about CCS?
Yeah, so my hope is that it kind of becomes like the gas pump model where it's like we have different cars out there that use different types of gasoline. We've got diesel vehicles, we've got high octane vehicles, whatever else. Just start putting all those options on the charger. I know it does add a little bit of cost because you've got more cables and stuff, but it's negligible sometimes with the cost of these fast chargers. So just put an extra cable on there and just write the firmware and configure it so that you can't charge like multiple vehicles at once with two cables. Like just have it one cable per charger or however you want to do that per stall, where you just have a couple options for CCS, for Tesla, for CHAdeMO, like, and then it just kind of equals everything out. So I would hope the people that are starting to build these fast charging hubs and these kind of like full service places for EV charging are thinking about that as well, because you do want to appeal to everybody and have those options. And I think we've gotten to the point now where people got to like really start investing in this. They can't just be like, oh, well, we only have a budget for like one charger and we're not going to include this, and this because we can't afford it. It's like this is going to be a crucial piece of infrastructure for people moving forward. So, like, if you don't include these things, people won't stop here. So,
That's
and
true.
granted the market's still small, and I think we lose that perspective all the time. It's like we are still growing this. It's still very small. Like this is all going to grow and evolve over time, but I think we are starting to get to the point where we're past the early adopter stage. We're getting to like these big chunk of what's that called? Like first movers or whatever are now
Oh,
getting into buying EVs.
I forget what that category is called. I'll have to look up that bell curve. I can't remember.
I'll just look it up right now. Because I'm going to. I think it's of adoption.
Okay. I can't
It's early
remember.
adoption, early majority. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's
Okay.
innovators, then early adopters, then early majority, then late majority, and then laggards. This tr this uh, this uh, this uh, this one says. So that's funny.
Laggards. Sounds like a beer.
So I guess we're still kind of in the early adopter phase, but I think we're definitely shifting towards early majority. Like that ramp is definitely starting to get higher here. So that's the other thing. I think this is going to continue to accelerate a lot faster than people are. We've beaten basically every projection of like EV adoption that people have put out. Like it's moving way faster than people are anticipating.
Oh,
So.
yeah. I know. Just let alone chargers in the ground. I mean, I agree with you. I really do think that this is just going to keep exploding as the right. years go on. Like, it's just right. going to get better and better. I do want to touch on one point that you mentioned, like appealing to all types of EV drivers. Let's touch on Chatmo really fast, because I think that that's one standard, as I probably have come across, that I'm just waiting for it to phase out here yeah. in the U.S. But I really, as long as there's vehicles on the road that utilize them, I still think it's important to include those, you know, connectors at a charging station. I yeah. agree with you. Just design your hardware in order to have three cables, you know, yeah. if it's important for you to have all those options.
Right. Right.
But yeah.
And I think CHAdeMO's in such a different category than CCS is. Like CHAdeMO, I think I brought this up the last time we discussed this. There are more CHAdeMO plugs on the ratio of CHAdeMO plugs to vehicles is already way higher than CCS plugs to CCS vehicles. So if you have to make a choice between CCS and CHAdeMO, the choice should be CCS. But oh, yeah. if you do have the option to add both, I think it is important to have that. But there's way more that goes into it than that. Like CHAdeMO vehicles don't really fast charge that often. Like CHAdeMO vehicles are still very much in the minority and are continuing to go away. So it's kind of a different conversation. But yeah, like I would love for there to be options for everybody anywhere you go. But the amount of people road tripping like old Leafs right now is pretty low. So yeah.
But, well, and if you are road tripping in a Leaf, you know, listening to this episode, kudos to you.
Definitely. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm excited to see where things go with the NACS. I mean, like, it just, yeah. I think at this point, it's almost an expectation that we're just going to see more and more companies. So I don't think that sheer excitement we felt a few weeks ago in Ford made their announcement
yeah.
was the same with GM. Like, I mean, it was there and it was like, oh my God, you know, file this under unexpected, but it wasn't like. Yeah, I mean, I think it's to be expected now. So yeah. I'm going to say that right now we're predicting the future that... I want to ask you, which company do you think is going to be next?
I think it's going to be a smaller company. I think it's going to be a Rivian. I think it's going to be a startup company that's building EVs. So I don't know if it's a Fisker or a Rivian or whatever else. That's my guess. I think we're going to have... A Rivian type company announcement. I'm trying to think of other like small EV companies that have actually like kind of gotten past production hell, if you will, and are actually producing a lot of vehicles. Rivian's the main one that comes to mind, but I think it'll be some smaller companies that announce it next and then go from there, I guess. So I'd imagine Tesla's also being very careful with like how many vehicles they start adding, where they're like, oh, we can only really support Ford and GM right now. Like, you'll have to wait a couple of years if you want to be added to our network or be able to use our network. Like, you can start using the plug, but like, we can't add you to the supercharger access or whatever. So, I don't know.
That's a fair point. I mean, who knows? I mean, like, I know that there's so many supercharging like stations out there.
Right.
But that really brings up a fair point. Like, is there a wait list? Because, I mean, both Ford and GM are massive companies.
Yeah.
And they're pumping out
EVs. That's a lot of vehicles.
A lot of vehicles. So. Yeah, let alone Tesla still need to charge their vehicles. So.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
I will ask you, since we're both Tesla owners, how do you feel about other vehicles now kind of formally are now allowed to charge at Tesla supercharging stations here in a couple of years?
So the reason I'm laughing is because when GM announced that they were switching or, you know, adopting this new connector, I texted my friend Andrew. I'm like, I can't wait to block a charger in a Bolt. Like, I just can't wait.
Are you going to buy a Bolt again to block
a supercharger? Yep, exactly. No, I mean, to me, it doesn't bother me. Like, I feel like I rarely use fast charging to the point where, like, it is what it is. I mean, like, yeah, if I was, like, I don't know. I feel like in Ohio, we're relatively safe because, like, I was actually looking at Columbus and the supercharger ratio to, you know, like, just DC fast chargers in general. There's a big difference. Like, there's not a lot of fast chargers in central Ohio compared to superchargers. So... I feel like that might be an issue, or, you know, that might be an issue if you get to California where there's a lot of EVs, that might be another issue.
Right.
But I think for me personally, I'm not, like, overly concerned.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. What about you? I mean, you drive a lot more than I do, so.
Yeah, and honestly, like, we, to your point, we don't fast charge a ton. So It's really, I think, anybody that's complaining about it, I think, is very much the vocal minority that's complaining about, oh, all these chargers are going to be blocked by non-Tesla vehicles. It's like, for most people, it's not going to be an issue. Like, I don't know when the last time I supercharged is. It's been like a couple months now. So it just really isn't that often in our day-to-day lives. We're not like road tripping for a living. Like, I could understand for sure people that are maybe driving Uber, like, or drive for a living with their Tesla, or road tripping all the time, what have you. I could understand that being more of an issue, but I think for the general driver, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And Tesla's building fast charging stations faster than anybody right now. Like, You can't really ask for more than what Tesla's doing right now. Look at any other network, look at any other kind of charging network out there. They're all way behind in even just the build rate of adding new charging stations. Like, it's just very slow. So I think Tesla's doing all they can to support not only the vehicles they have, but future growth and future OEMs joining that network. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit it on the head too. Another point I want to mention too is that a lot of the other networks are only installing 3 chargers or 4 chargers, whereas like Tesla, you know, is installing 8 at a minimum, and they're even stepping that up to 12 now, where that's like the bare minimum. So it's typically 12 or more. Supercharger stalls. So
for sure.
they're doing it right. I mean, I really think that, like, unless like EVs just like really take off and all of a sudden Kia and Hyundai and, you know, all these other companies, Honda, you know, just like adopt the NACS standard, I think we should be okay for a few years, but hopefully we just keep seeing more rollout, which I'm assuming Tesla is going to. Because I mean, here in Cleveland, you know, they're putting, I think 4 more supercharger locations, and one just went live near downtown. So it's kind of like going to cover, you know, some of the other highways and byways and all that. So
yeah.
And Columbus is going to be the same way.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say Columbus just added one in Hilliard, just went live pretty recently. Yep. And then there's one in Worthington that's going to be turned on pretty soon as well. So there's, I mean, just 2 have popped up in the past 6 months. So, and we only had 4, I think, for the longest time. Maybe 3. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, because
we really only had the Polaris and Grove City ones.
And Dublin, too.
And Dublin, It was really only those 3 for the longest time. So adding the 2 more now, I mean, that just ratio-wise, you're almost doubling the amount of supercharging stations in Columbus. So, we had the urban one downtown. That was the other one.
Oh, that's right.
So,
Yeah. But we need some on the east side. Got to cover the whole circle.
Now. Yeah. Yep.
Come on, Elon. I'm excited about this. I mean, it is really exciting news, and I mean, it just makes this industry even more exciting because it's always changing.
Oh my gosh, it's daily.
Literally,
it's so hard to keep up with. Yeah,
yeah. I do want to just place my bets when it comes to the next company that I think is going to adopt this. I think Rivian. I just have a hunch that Rivian is going to, and I think honestly it would benefit them if they did.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I think the only wrinkle is they've kind of brought up and made press releases and said, we're building our own network like Tesla. So it's like they're almost immediately backtracking on that if they're like, oh, we're actually going to use the Tesla network, which I think is one of the main reasons people aren't buying Rivians is for that network. It's honestly holding back their sales. So I don't think it would hurt them.
No, but. No. Yeah, I agree. I think it would just benefit them. So, okay. Well, we're placing bets now because, well, you know, when we circle back with new episodes in a few weeks, we'll have to summarize if any more major announcements have happened.
Right.
So.
All right. You got anything else?
No. I think I'm good. And I'll catch you. Well, we'll catch you guys in a few weeks. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll try to keep posting stuff or at least kind of keep you updated on social and what's going on. But yeah, appreciate your patience as we're in this state of not uncertainty, but transience, I guess.
Feels
I
like it.
So we're going to be kind of all over the place for a few weeks. But anyway, appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.